At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the For Him podcast. Today's episode is a really special one because I am joined by an old friend from high school, someone that I haven't talked to in a long time, but it's honestly so amazing how faith has a way of reconnecting people in new seasons, which is very ironic and fitting for today's topic, but I will let her introduce herself.
Hello.
Hold on.
Hello, everyone. My name is Saray. I just want to thank Kelsey for inviting me to join her for this episode. I'm excited to see our shared and differing experiences on today's topic.
So for today's episode, we wanted to talk about something that both of us have experienced in our walks with Christ, how growing in faith does change your relationships, that there's both loss and gain in that process, but ultimately it's all a part of God's plan of shaping us and surrounding us with what will help us grow closer to Him. Which should be our goal as Christians anyway, so let's get raw, real, and unfiltered about when faith changes friendships. First, I want to start out with kind of my personal experience of the loss before the gain. For me, it was almost as if before I even came to faith, I started to experience loss of friendships, and at the time it felt really confusing and painful, like I was kind of being left behind or left out, but now I look back on that season of my life and I see that God truly was preparing me for what was coming in finding Him and coming to a relationship with Him. So those losses created space for something greater in my life. And even if I lose everything, but I gain a relationship with God, I've still gained everything that truly matters, which I soon came to realize, and the Bible touches on as well. It says in Philippians 3:7, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." So what does this mean for us? Sometimes God removes people or things before He even reveals why He removed those people or things. It's not rejection, but it's redirection. And so asking yourself, is this loss making space for God to work in me, I found so helpful, because more than likely it is, and that shift in perspective promotes so much growth.
I find it interesting how prior to coming to Christ, you experienced the loss before the gain. For me, it was the complete opposite, having a gain before the loss. But I feel we can both relate due to our seasons of loss, which brought us closer to God. A little background on myself, I grew up very shy, introverted, and just socially awkward, so you can imagine the lack of friendships I've had in my life. I want to highlight senior year of high school specifically. During this time, I had the urge to get out of my comfort zone. I was more social, going to parties, smoking, drinking, literally doing anything just to feel something. I was connecting to people who weren't good for my soul, but stimulating to my flesh. As 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, bad company corrupts good character. Just because it felt good doesn't mean it was good. Of course, at this time, I wasn't into God whatsoever. At the time, I had actually convinced myself God was not real, which is crazy to even say right now. That lifestyle actually did bring me a lot of friendships, which brought me a sense of happiness I'd never felt before. For me, having those friendships, though the quality was poor, made me finally feel good and not have that sense of loneliness. Unfortunately, with that came my inability to stay still and be comfortable in my own space. I was always needing to be with someone, doing something, no matter what it was. I'm not even joking about 90% of those friends were gone within that first month after graduation. I did fall into a deep depression shortly after that, which led to an isolation that lasted much longer than needed. 2 years later, I caught myself in another time of loneliness and isolation. This time around, I decided I needed a positive change in my life. So I bought a Bible to start my journey with God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 says, "For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death." Now, this isolation was needed to strengthen my relationship with God. This season of my life required me to focus solely on God without anyone to lead me astray. Romans 13:13-14 says, "Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires.
I don't know about y'all listening to this through the phone, but like me just listening to Sarai talk in real life, I feel like she could actually read stories for a living because her voice is just like so soothing, and she just speaks so well on kind of her own experience. And it's really sweet to hear because, like I said, we were connected way back when in high school and haven't talked much since then, but it's so sweet to see how Jesus moves in everybody's lives in such different ways, but kind of that same foundational truth of like truly being able to bring them out of short-term fulfillment and things that they thought might satisfy, and then like truly give them joy. And so it's just really cool to hear.
I was kind of gonna say the same thing for Kelsey. Like, me and Kelsey met while we were in seventh grade choir class, and so to see us go from those little preteens to now see each other both living for God, you know, just to see that transition in our lives and us coming together at this time, it's just amazing what God can do when you're least expecting it.
Yeah, I agree. So next, I want to touch a little bit on when faith brings distance. I know for me, as I've grown in my faith, I've noticed that some of my relationships or friendships have naturally gained distance, not out of bitterness or out of pride, but because our values and passions and goals have shifted. And when there's more space between what two people value and what they desire and what they chase after or fill their time with, there will also naturally be more space between the two people. But it's not that I love those friends any less. It's just that the relationship looks different now. And that's okay. I've learned that loving someone doesn't always mean being as close as you once were. I feel like sometimes the best way to love someone is from a distance. And we see this in scripture in 2 Corinthians 6:14. It says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common?" This may sound harsh, but when you break it down, this verse isn't about avoiding people who don't believe. It's about recognizing that deeper connection also requires spiritual alignment. And all of this points to the truth that it's okay if your faith causes some relationships to change. You can still love them, still pray for them, still be a light, but also guard your heart and your focus on Christ, as that's most important.
Yes, I'm just going to piggyback off of that because that was so spot on. And yeah, so faith is supposed to bring distance simply because majority of the people are living for the world and being led by the flesh. As followers of Christ, we're called to make disciples and lead by example, representing Christ in the way we live. Romans 6:12 says, "Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires." The closer you grow in your relationship with God, the more changes you'll see in every aspect of your life, especially your relationships. Romans 2:13 says, "For merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in His sight." You'll slowly see yourself not desiring the things you once loved to do, in turn causing a natural drift in your closest relationships. This isn't because you necessarily want them to, but the basis of your friendship starts becoming prevalent. You start seeing that most of your friendships are based on the sin you have in common, whether that be smoking, drinking, gossiping, etc. Proverbs 4:14 says, "Don't do as the wicked do, and don't follow the path of evildoers." Just like Kelsey said, when your passions, values, and goals differ, there's going to be a shift and or loss in the relationship. 1 Peter 4:4 says, "Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do, so they slander you." You must be able to separate from the things that aren't glorifying God in order to elevate. In Ephesians 4:22-24, it says, "Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy."
Yeah, it also just goes to show that if the foundation that a friendship is built on is sin and being rooted in things like partying and drinking and smoking together, it leads to turmoil very quickly. Like, as soon as you stop doing those things and that's the only thing that you guys had in common, it goes to show that the friendship really wasn't much deeper than that. And at that point, it's questionable, like, is this even a real friendship? But on a more positive note, I want to talk about something that's been a game changer for me, surrounding myself with faith-fueled friendships. It's honestly been one of the greatest gifts in growing in my faith. The new relationships that God has brought me, friendships that strengthen and encourage me in the Lord. These are people who hold us accountable, who remind us of truth when we're slipping, and who pray for and with you. It's really been so life-giving to find friends who share the same heart posture, who aren't just chasing happiness and the things of this world, but holiness. It's so important to find people who help keep you on the path of God's calling for your life, not those that blind you from it or pull you from it. Scripture even says this. It says in Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." And then in Ecclesiastes 4:9, it says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor." I encourage you to look around at your circle. Who points you closer to Christ? Who drains your faith? Be intentional about who you let influence you, because community shapes character. And it's much easier to learn this yourself before you're taught it the hard way by others.
Yes, once again, Kelsey is over here killing it, y'all. I'm just going to piggyback off of her again. And I'm going to say, we can't be connected to people who bear no fruit. Otherwise, we'll backslide. And we don't want to backslide, because Hebrews 10:26 says, "Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins."
Yeah, that's so good. I've talked about this analogy a few different times throughout a few different episodes, but it's something that's really stuck with me and helped put my faith into perspective. And kind of, it's just a really good reminder. The analogy of a relationship with God is like swimming upstream. And so if you're not consistently putting work in and putting that effort in, you will naturally float downstream. And so there is no remaining stagnant. You are either growing closer or you are furthering yourself from Him. And kind of like Saray touched on, and there really is so much truth in the fact that once you are brought to awareness of these things, and once your eyes are open to them, kind of like she was touching on, it's not something that you can just close your eyes and now pretend that you don't know. And so it's one thing to be unaware of how you are to live as a Christian and not live that way, versus having that awareness and then choosing to turn away from it. And so I think it's really good that she brought that point up as well.
Yes, and like it says in John 12:35, "Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness does not overtake you." In my personal experience, I found it difficult to find friends who are rooted in Christ. That's why I always say having a good church that you're connected to is imperative for our walk, because it allows us to gain true wisdom and connect with like-minded people. Another plus is having a community that will pray for you in your times of need.
Yeah, there's so much power in prayer, and we've been given the gifts of prayer and community, and so I think it really makes the biggest difference to take advantage of these things and help them help you, like also help others grow in their faith through them, but allow yourself to be teachable and your faith to be fueled by the people around you.
Yes, I've heard many people in my life say that church isn't necessary, but I'd like to point out Hebrews 10:25, which says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." A seed must be in the proper environment in order to grow, and the same applies to us. Our environment is so important that it could cost us our life, so we must examine our associations and stop being comfortable with mediocrity. The first step is separating from the wrong people.
Exactly. Although God is in control, we're still responsible. And once that seed is planted, it's so important to continue to water it if you are wanting to grow and be able to bear fruit. And so just staying rooted in the church and in community and in people who will inspire you to become closer to God and also help you get there is really big.
Yes. So in growing closer to the people who help your walk and separating from the wrong people, it doesn't mean you love them any less. You just need distance in order to prevent distractions in your walk. Although I have yet to experience a gain in godly friendships, my loss in these platonic relationships has allowed me to see the gain in the relationships within my family and how God is moving in their lives.
Yeah, that's so sweet. I think it's so cool to see how as you grow closer to the Lord, different things are highlighted in your life and you really kind of come to realize what's important and what aspects of your life are bearing fruit. And so I know we've talked a lot about the what, and now I want to talk a little bit about the why in terms of the impact of gain and loss. Losing some relationships hurts, but I've realized that obedience sometimes does cost comfort. And while putting God first isn't always easy, it is always worth it. And I underlined in my notes, always, so you know it's real. I have found that the more Christ-centered my relationships become, the easier it is to live out my faith naturally. Those friendships don't replace my need for God, but they help me to stay anchored in Him and understand deeper my need for Him. In Scripture, it says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So step one is to get right with God, and He will guide you in getting right with yourself and others. And in this, don't be afraid of the pruning process. God removes and replaces with purpose. The relationships that remain or enter your life in this season are all a part of your refining. So let Him work, listen to your convictions, and allow them to lead you to your calling and the people who are a part of it.
Okay, so my take on the impact of gain and loss is, while some people may say their walk with God was strengthened by the strong faith-based friendships they had, I was not as fortunate. I didn't grow up in church, let alone a Christian household. I was lacking guidance and direction in my life. So once I did make the decision to get close to God, it was definitely a struggle, with no one being on the same path as me. With my family suffering from many issues like poverty, addiction, and depression, I feel like it was almost my duty to be the one in my family to turn to God. I feel like God placed something in me that He knew would allow me to withstand the specific adversities of my personal life. Which brings me to how real the power of obedience is. You never know whose life is destined to be changed based on your obedience to God. I feel like my obedience and willingness to stay rooted in Christ, regardless of the lack of support or guidance around me, led to a change in my entire family. Your obedience isn't just for you. Your influence affects the people around you. Sorry if I went off track there a bit, but the point is, in order to thrive, we must be separated from the world and saturated in His Word. I feel I've been most impacted by the loss of relationships in my journey so far. The loss has helped me realize that sometimes God puts you in places alone because He needs you to realize you don't need anyone but Him. A quote that has stuck with me ever since I've heard it says, "If all you have is Jesus, you have all you need." That's allowed me to push through my hardships and moving forward in life.
Yeah, I wish it was as easy as being an overnight process, just the refining and growing. And a lot of the times it is hard whenever you're in the midst of it, and it doesn't seem like there is going to be as much good that comes out of it as there is. But I very much relate to you on all of that. And I just want to say that just listening to your story makes me so proud of you, like as a stranger and outsider being able to look in. So if you're listening to this and you're in a season where you feel isolated or like your circle is changing, know that God isn't taking, He's transforming. He's aligning your relationships with His purpose for you.
Yes, I completely agree. You must not be afraid of the isolation needed for your transformation. It is very important to know the difference between you isolating yourself and God's season of isolation for you. I've isolated myself many times, which blurred the lines between that distinction. Since I've experienced firsthand how tough it is to face things alone, I am now aware and realize that having godly friendships is vital for getting out of those self-appointed seasons of isolation and getting back on track. Ecclesiastes 4:10 says, "If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble." And man, ain't that the truth.
That is so good. And if you take nothing else from all of this, I hope that you take that as you walk with Him, He'll continue to bring people who don't just walk next to you, but walk with you towards the same goal in glorifying Him.
Yes, I definitely second that. And I just want to thank you again for having me. I really enjoyed this discussion and hearing your thoughts.
Of course, I'm just so glad that Sarai did this episode with me. And kind of like I touched on earlier in the episode, it truly is so life-giving to have friendships that you share that passion for your faith in. And I just wanted to leave you all with a scripture. It is Psalm 138:8 that says, "The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me." So live like you believe this and keep taking those steps towards and for Him.